Again, good to be back with you. I invite you to turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And in this chapter, again, interesting words that the apostle uses writing to this church at Corinth. Corinth, where he had spent 18 months preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and where believers were saved. Namely, if we understand about this church, it's a Gentile church. And interesting words that he uses here in this chapter. We're not going to take a look at them in particular at this time, but we're going to pull out a verse here and continue with the thought that we have about it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, however, he says, "Moreover, brethren," in verse number 1, "I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud." Remember how we talked about last Sunday about Abraham being the father of faith? Well, here the brother is referring to the Israelites and those tribes that are there. He says how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. We're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. The cloud referring to that pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. The angel of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the rock, he refers to that, that was with them. The Lord was involved in all this. He was there in the midst of them and worked on behalf of his nation Israel and had his man that he had chosen to be their leader and their minister, Moses, they're with them. And so he's speaking about all those things and just really wonderful things. Admonition to us and to the church there at Corinth, and says in verse number 6, "Now these were our examples to the intent that we should not lust or desire after evil things as they did, neither be idolaters as some of them were, and neither let us commit fornication," verse number 8, "as some of them did, neither let us tempt Christ as they did." It's written not for us to rail on them or for us to glory in how much better or how much more obedient than we are than they, but to be warned. And that, don't be a murmurer, verse number 10. And it says in verse number 11, this is the thought and that we want to pull out of this and consider it in our subject this morning. "Now all these things happened unto them for ensamples." And beyond that, "and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come." And so what we're going to consider is use this for a springboard to consider the subject this morning. These things happened unto the nation of Israel, and the account of them is written for our admonition. For our admonition. And this word admonition is talking about, about it being a rebuke or a warning. These things are written about them that we might be warned. They're examples. And what I want to take a look at here this morning, just for us to make a quick consideration, is the example of our inheritance in Christ. Okay? So we're not going to deal with the context here, but we're going to deal with the Lord's help and blessing, the example of our inheritance in Christ. There's a great example of that, and I want us to consider it this morning. May the Lord help us. Let's pray. Father, help us now as we look into your word and give us wisdom and understanding and ability in it. Help us, Lord, to proclaim it in a way that bring honor and glory to your name. Help us to worship you in it. Lord, that we might be admonished, that we might be encouraged in thee, and Lord, that we might know and have reaffirmed the great promises that you've given unto us through Christ. For those that are here and not saved, Father, help them to see they have no inheritance, they have no hope. And Lord, we pray that you'd save them, work in them, help us to be a good witness to them of good things in Christ. And Lord, just bless that they might come to you in repentance and faith. Lord, work in it. Salvation's from you, and we pray that you'd help. Help now, we pray, and bless us as we look into your word and worship together. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name and for his sake. And amen. The example of our inheritance in Christ, all these things about the children of Israel, he says here, and he refers to disobedience, namely, but they're written for our examples that we might be admonished. We who are right here seemingly at the end. I mean, that's the way the Apostle Paul talked about it regarding the church at Corinth some, 1900 years ago, that these things are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. Well, if we could say that about them, we could certainly say that about ourselves, couldn't we? And so we expect the Lord to come back at any time. We don't know if it'll be 10 minutes, 10 days, 10 months, 10 years, or another millennia. Okay, that's in the Lord's hands. But we do expect that he'll come, and we are nearer to his return than we ever have been before. And so this example of our inheritance, I want you to go over here to Ephesians. Take a look at this. And these are passages that the Lord used to stir this thinking and this consideration in me. We're just going to take a walk through Ephesians here quickly. We looked about this in our studies and our consideration on Sunday afternoons about the word predestination and the word ordain. We'll be taking a look at that word ordain and what God has ordained this afternoon, Lord willing. But here in Ephesians chapter 1, let's take a look here. Let's get the whole sentence. And it's a long sentence, verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, Jesus' blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, his favor, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, the wonder of the salvation of the Lord having been brought to us and extended to us in Christ is just a great mystery and a great wonder, and the prudence and the wisdom of the Lord is great, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation or his stewardship of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven, which are on earth, even in him. It's all going to be unified in Christ. Everything's going to be put in his place. Verse 11, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. In Christ, not only have we obtained salvation, but we've obtained an inheritance. It's for real. And oh, may the Lord help us to get our hearts and minds wrapped around that. We have a great inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And so as Brother Doug mentioned in his lesson this morning, that it is all about Christ and it's by Christ. And not only by Christ have we been saved, but we have an inheritance. Verse number 14, which is the earnest. What's that? Well, let's back up to verse 13. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. This is the operation of God, the way the Lord works. In whom also, after that ye believed, were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. That Holy Spirit, he is, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Again, we will be glorified. We'll have those glorified bodies like Christ to the praise and honor and glory of God yet more. And yet again, if you will, verse 18, verse 17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Because see, we've got a time between now and then that we've got this old man on our back and we need help with him, because we are yet called to live holy and godly in this present evil world, and that we be a witness of our Lord and what he's done for us and to others. Okay, so that's what he's talking about. That we might be, the Spirit would give us wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, see things the way God sees them, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, that we might understand that more and greater. That's part of this message, what this message is about. And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Okay? And we have an inheritance. And that inheritance is given unto us and will be given unto us. And may the Lord help us to see more about that and rejoice in our Lord regarding it. In chapter 5, Be therefore, verse number one, followers of God as dear children. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Jesus offered himself for me. And if you're here and saved, he did so for you. And the Father was pleased with it. And you know what? Because God the Father was pleased, if you will. God Almighty was pleased with the sacrifice of himself for us. We are received. We are accepted in the beloved. And that is great. There is nothing greater than that. Again, as Brother Doug mentioned, there's nothing greater and more valuable that a person has than their soul. And their soul being saved and redeemed by the Lord. He says here in verse 3, but fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be named among you, once named among you as become a saint. Put away that old sin that you've been saved from. Neither filthiness, foolish talking, jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks, a thankful people. For this ye know that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater. That's what it tells us about covetousness. It is idolatry. Listen, none of those hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. This theme of inheritance is a great theme that runs through the scriptures. I hadn't seen it to the extent that it is. And it's just really a blessing. An inheritance. You know what? The disobedient, the wayward, those that are without Christ, they have no inheritance. None. But the child of God, we've got an inheritance. And it is great indeed. In Luke chapter 8, Luke chapter 8. Take a look over here. Listen to what Jesus said. He, in his ministry, he alluded to this. I've mentioned some of these scriptures in recent times, I believe. And listen to what Jesus says in Luke 8, verse number 9. Let's read. And his disciples ask him, saying, what might this parable be? Talking about the sower in that. It says in verse number 10, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. God's got a kingdom. And he's bringing it to light. He's bringing it to preeminence. It's happening. It's working. As sinners are saved, and the Lord has put his church here in this church age, and the Lord is working in the affairs of the world to bring things to an end, his kingdom is being more and more and more revealed. There's a dividing line. There's the scripture tells us that there's going to be a falling away in the last days. I don't know if this is the last days or not. We need to operate like we're going to live till the Lord takes us out of here. But let's take an evaluation of what you and I have seen over the last 10 years. And this isn't to brag on us, because save for the grace and blessing of the Lord, you and I would be following the same way. But has there not been a falling away? We don't have the missionaries that we had. We don't have, I'm talking about the number of missionaries that we have had. We don't have men surrendering, young men surrendering to the ministry like there was in one day decades ago. We don't have the membership in the churches that we know of that there was in days gone by, right? There are times, and I'm thankful that the Lord has blessed our church, but there's times that there's a coldness that comes over the people of God, and may we guard against that. I see it in churches where I go and where I visit. There's a coldness and a coolness that can be there, and may the Lord help us that not be here at Olmsted Baptist Church. But the Lord says that there's going to be a falling away. And he says, unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to other in parables, and seeing that they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. There's a kingdom of the Lord that's coming, and there's a dividing out of things, I believe. And as persecution even would come our way, there'll be a reckoning there. But will we stand? Is our faith in Christ? Is our faith in religion? May the Lord help us that we'd stand. But see, these mysteries of the kingdom, are revealed unto the Lord's people. And we can are able to see by the blessing and the word of the Lord what God sees rather than what this whole world sees or even what the religious world sees. So then that being the case, he tells over here in Luke chapter 12, one piece of the mysteries of the Lord is this. And I find the wording interesting here in verse 32. Our Lord Jesus says to his church that's there with him, Luke 12:32, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There's an inheritance. There's an inheritance. Fear not, little flock. Little flock. If that first church, if the membership of that first church was in the hundreds at the time of death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I very well think that it could have been. I think that I wonder about that reference there in Acts chapter 1 about the number of the names being 120-some, if that wasn't a reference to the households. And there's reasons that other scriptures that I look to in that. But even if the membership of the first church is 9 to 1,000 at the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does 1,000 people pale to millions that it could have possibly been at Jerusalem at that time of the Passover? It's like a drop in the bucket, isn't it? "Fear not, little flock. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." That's one of the mysteries of the kingdom, is that we have an inheritance. "Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." In Matthew chapter 25, look here also what the Lord Jesus Christ says. In Matthew 25, verse number 34, an inheritance, the example of our inheritance in Christ. We're going to take a look at this example in the Old Testament. But here in verse number 34 of Matthew 25, he says, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, the Lord's talking generally about the dividing of those that are his and those that are not. Okay. He's not talking about there being just one judgment, but he's talking in general about how there will be a dividing. "And then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world." There's an inheritance. There's inheritance. And of course, we don't follow and serve our Lord for the sake of gaining the inheritance. It's a byproduct. It's a blessing. It's a benefit of what the Lord just piles on us in addition to salvation. He's worthy to be praised. He's worthy to be obeyed without us gaining anything. But by salvation and through salvation in Christ, not only are our souls saved, not only are we given eternal life, but in addition to that, we have an inheritance. An inheritance. And Jesus says as much. In Hebrews, speaking about Moses, it says in Hebrews 11, verse 26, that the case with Moses was, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward." The Lord is to be followed. And Moses could not deny, he could not thwart and go against, even though he had quarrel with the Lord in that, when the Lord visited him and said, "You're the man that I'm calling to lead my people out of Egypt." Moses could do nothing but that. He put up his arguments, he put up his fuss, and he got Aaron as a mouthpiece, and that was trouble, and that's an example to us. But there was respect unto the recompense of the reward. There's a reward with the Lord. And we don't serve the Lord and we don't follow the Lord. In the Lord's conviction and his work in us, that's a furthest thing from your mind when you're seeing the conviction and the word of God and the truth of God's word and the Lord's moving with his spirit about the condition of your soul before the Lord. You're not thinking about what you can get out of God. You're concerned about your soul. You're concerned about, we were concerned about our need to be rescued But when he saves us, there's an inheritance. There's a reward. There is a blessing in the Lord. And in that, in addition to our salvation. And so what about the example? I read that in 1 Corinthians 10 as we started. These things happen for examples to the children of Israel, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. There he speaks about disobedience and a warning that we should not be disobedient. But what about this example in the scripture of our inheritance in Christ? So let's take a look at that. There's an example that shows us in the scripture about this inheritance. I want you to turn over here to Joshua. And the book of Joshua, the Lord's laid it on my heart here in recent times. And there's just a lot of good, wonderful things here in this book of Joshua and things that I had forgotten about and not seen before. And I tell you, it's a blessing when the Lord opens things up to us and stirs us with his word, isn't it? It's just great. I mean, fellowshipping with the Lord and his truth. It's there. It's settled for eternity. And it's there. If we'll just avail ourselves to it, there's nothing but blessing in the word of the Lord. An example of our inheritance in Christ. An example that's given to us in the children of Israel, in the nation of Israel, regarding inheritance, it's an example about how it is with us and in our inheritance, an example of our inheritance in Christ. What is that? Well, in Joshua chapter 1, we see here in verse number 6, the Lord speaks to Joshua and Moses, the servant of the Lord, is dead. And the Lord has chosen Joshua to be the leader of the people. And he's going to be so for a long time. Verse number 6, the Lord speaks to Joshua about many things. But this is what we want to look at this morning. The Lord says to him, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Joshua, you're the divider of the inheritance. And you think about the children of Israel, you think about the children of the children of Israel that have come up out of that wandering in the desert or the wilderness for 40 years. Their fathers were stiff-necked and rebellious, weren't they? How would you like to be the divider? Well, the Lord said, be strong and of good courage. And of course, the Lord's going to give him the info, okay? But he's the man. He's the leader that's there, a one of them, taken from them to be a leader of them. And he says, you're going to be the divider. And the book of Joshua tells much about how he does that and how the Lord does so. But at the end of Joshua's ministry, we read over here in chapter 21, this whole account about Joshua and the Lord working there is a subject for another time. But two times we see here that Joshua tells the children of Israel this. And let us hear what the example, okay? These things are written for our examples. And so from the example, may we be encouraged about the inheritance, okay? Listen. Read it here. In Joshua 21, verse number 45, Joshua says, there failed not aught of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass. You hear that? That's few words. But the impact of that is if God said it, regarding them, it came to pass. The Lord gave them rest. The Lord gave them their inheritance. And it all came to pass. Now, that isn't a quote from Joshua, but here in Joshua 23, we see this. Brother Joshua says this as he's getting near his death. And in Joshua 23, verse 14, and behold, this day I'm going the way of all the earth. He's going to die. And ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one thing hath failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, and not one thing hath failed thereof. Did God promise them an inheritance? Did they get it? They sure did. They got houses that they didn't build, vineyards that they didn't plant, cattle that they didn't raise. God said he was going to do it. God said he was going to bring them to a land that flowed with milk and honey. Did he mean it? He sure did, because that's what he did. And indeed, that land did so. Did it flowed with milk and honey. It was a rich land. God said it, and he brought it to pass. Joshua was the divider of it, and the Lord said he would do it, and he did it. Have we not read in the New Testament scriptures that the Lord has an inheritance for us? We did this morning, didn't we? Will we get our inheritance too? If the example was he spoke it to Israel and he gave them their inheritance, if the Lord's promised us an inheritance, won't he deliver it to us too? He will, won't he? He will. It's solid and sure. But there's something in here that's better even than getting, the Lord Jesus said, he goes to prepare a place for us. And if he does so, he'll come again, won't he? And he said, if that wasn't so, I would have told you. He said, but my Father's had in his palace, there are many mansions. We'll have a house. We'll have a place. We'll have a robe and rewards and crowns to the honor and glory and praise of God. And you know what? We're not putting any of those things together at all. Indeed, we are sending treasure ahead by our obedience. But it's the Lord that's built the mansion here. It's the Lord that's prepared the reward. And it's the Lord that will give it to us. Very much in parallel the way it was with the children of Israel, wasn't it? The Lord did it for them. And the Lord's promised us an inheritance, and indeed, he will bring it to pass. But in that, in this example of the of what it says in Joshua about the dividing of the land and everything, I found that there was something there that the Lord said, and the Lord, if I may, hints at, that's even better than getting the land, than getting the mansion, than getting the houses, than getting the cattle. And so let's take a look about that. This was a blessing to me. I hope I can convey it to you. May the Lord help us in that. Turn over here to Joshua 14. Look at this. Look at this. An inheritance. Our inheritance, an example of our inheritance in Christ. In Joshua 14, it says here, and these are the countries, verse number 1, which the children of Israel inherited in the land of Canaan. Much is mentioned about inheritance, inheritance, inheritance. Okay? Verse number 3. For Moses had given the inheritance of two tribes, and a half a tribe on the other side, and a half a tribe on the other side of Jordan. Okay? Speaking about two tribes, I want to say Gad and Asher and half the tribe of Manasseh, okay? But listen to this. On the other side of Jordan, on the east side of Jordan. But unto the Levites, he gave none inheritance among them. Oh, you mean the Levites didn't get anything? Well, no, the Levites didn't get any land like the other tribes got. And what's my reaction? I'll just tell you my reaction in days gone by has been, oh, they didn't get anything. That's a natural reaction for us, isn't it? Especially we who are, what's natural for us is we like the stuff of life. And there's not anything wrong with having stuff. What the Lord gives us, we should take and receive and use well. It's a blessing of the Lord to work and to gain wealth and to gain stuff and the things that our family needs. We should not be idolatrous in putting that before the Lord. But there's nothing wrong with stuff. But we need to use it right and not be greedy of it. But again, that balance of working hard and honoring the Lord in it. And so naturally we would say, or naturally I have said, oh, Levi didn't get anything. And we know that Levi was given some cities, but he wasn't given a possession like the other tribes were. But you know what? Buried here in the scripture, I think we see what the Lord has done and what the Lord promises even us. In Joshua chapter 13, the previous chapter, let's read here in verse number 13. Nevertheless, the children of Israel expelled not the Gershites, nor the Malathites, but the Gershites and the Maacathites dwell among the Israelites until this day. Only unto the tribe of Levi he gave none inheritance. But it doesn't stop there. Listen. The sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. Of course, Levi was that tribe that was chosen of the Lord to be the minister before the Lord unto the nation. As far as the tribes to the other tribes, Levi was the tribe. The descendants of Aaron in particular would be the priests of the Lord. And the Lord said they didn't get any land, but they got something better. They were there ministering and, if you will, mediating between the nation and God Almighty. They were close to the Lord. They were there being the ministers of God. And we take a look at those the ceremonial sacrificial law and everything. That was work. I mean, that was work. It wasn't about taking some little old thing and putting it on a little old altar and, you know, put a little fire underneath of it. It was work. But the Lord says their inheritance is those sacrifices. The Lord provided for them out of some of those sacrifices. They didn't get the land, but they got a closer work and ministry to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying in the other tribes there wasn't anybody saved and there wasn't anybody that honored the Lord. We know that Caleb was a great man of faith and honored the Lord in every way, didn't he? And then sure, there were others of no doubt in the generations. We know Joshua was a faithful man. He was. But the Lord didn't give an inheritance of the land. But he says the sacrifices of the Lord God of Israel made by fire are their inheritance, as he said unto them. Now, in our old flesh, we would say, well, that's not a big deal. But I tell you what, you think about fellowshipping and visiting with the Lord and being near to him. And in their case of being that, in a sense, a mediator and such as that. What's better, closer to the Lord or farther away from the Lord? What's better, ministering before the Lord every day or ministering before the Lord and worshiping the Lord one day a week? Which is better? The Levites were called to be close. They had the ministry of all that, and they were near to the tabernacle and the Holy of Holies. They all had their part that they did. In chapter 13 also, we come down here to verse number 33. The scripture says, but unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. What's it say? The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. Levi, by the Lord, God gave himself to them. Land is going to pass on to the heir, isn't it? Because you don't take any land with you. You don't take any crops with you. You don't take any wealth with you. It's kind of humorous. The other day, my niece pointed out at a funeral home there in the St. Louis area where we're from, that right beside it, there's a U-Haul place. And it's always said, you don't ever see a U-Haul going behind a hearse, do you? Well, in that case, they might have bought storage. I don't know, that was her reference. But you don't take anything with you, do you? And the things that the Lord gives are good. But he said here, they didn't get any land because the Lord God Almighty was their inheritance. That's an inheritance that they had then, and they went on to eternity too. Because the things of this earth, in that land and in that day to come, aren't going to matter, are they? They had the inheritance of the Lord. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance. And then we come over here to chapter 18. Chapter 18. In verse number 7, the scripture says, "But the Levites have no part among you, for the priesthood of the Lord is their inheritance." The priesthood. Oh. Well, that just sounds like a bunch of work. That sounds like a bunch of drudgery. That sounds like just a bunch of repetition in their case. Listen, they were able to minister in the presence of God Almighty. That was their inheritance. And those that had their hearts right, those that had been saved by the Lord, those that knew the Lord, because not all of Israel was saved, we know that. And no doubt there were priests that ministered in the priesthood that weren't saved. But those that were, they really got it, didn't they? What do you think about John the Baptist's daddy? Do you think that man enjoyed going there and doing his part and fulfilling that order that he had? Indeed, he did. He sought to do it well. He knew his inheritance was this way. Close fellowship with and worship and service to our Lord is a better inheritance than the land. And may God help us to see that in the example. That being the case, maybe we can understand a little bit better why this is written. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. The example of our inheritance in Christ. Why is it that the scripture says this? And Brother John got it. And see, Brother John, he went from being a fisher on Lake Gennesaret to being a minister, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was exiled on the Isle of Patmos when the Lord gave him this revelation. And John writes this in verse number 4 of Revelation 1. "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father." He doesn't say landowners of Canaan, does he? He doesn't say dominators of the real estate of this world. But he's made us royalty. He made us priests. Yeah, that's everybody. Now we have that which we fill now, and the order, the way things have, the Lord has made things now. But he is making us and will make us kings and priests before him. The Lord doesn't have anybody that's low around him. He brings everybody up. He makes us kings. That's where the crowns come in, that he gives us according to his will. And he makes us priests, ministers. Ministers of God. Isn't that interesting that he says that? And John has written this. Understand that most likely as John writes this book, he saw the revelation of the Lord first, and then he writes his greeting afterwards. Okay? Just the way it would be. And so that's what we have read here. And he says this, he catches on to this, and he reiterates this from that which he has seen. "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords has made us kings and priests unto our God. Where is it that John got that? Well, what he saw over here in Revelation 5. Let's read it. In Revelation 5, the throne room of God is revealed and opened up. And it says here in verse number 9, and they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book." There's one that sits on the throne that has a book that nobody can even look at. No man is found to be able to open the book or look on the book. And there was some weeping, John said, that he did because it was so. But then there's a lamb in verse 6 that stood, a lamb as it had been slain. And he was able to look on the book. And he took the book from the hand of him that sat on the throne. And he was able to open the book. And when that is the case, we read where we have, and they sung a new song saying, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou was slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue, people, and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests." Praise your name that you've made us kings. Praise your name that you have made us ministers unto you and before you, priests and kings unto our God. And we shall reign on the earth. John heard that, didn't he? And it's so stuck with him that in his greeting, he mentioned that where we read that. That's big. That's a wonderful inheritance, isn't it? I've never even known a king. But to the honor and glory and praise of God, before him in his will and whatever his purpose is, before him, I'll be a king. You'll be a king. I'll be a priest. You'll be a priest. What an inheritance. What an inheritance before our Lord. In conclusion, we want to consider here just two things in Psalms, in the book of Psalms, chapter 37, Psalm 37. Let's read what it says here. Where do you stand? How is it with your inheritance? Do you have an inheritance? The only way you can have an everlasting inheritance is by having the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. It's the only way. It's only by Jesus that things are given or things are held and given or things are in store that are eternal. Everything else, every work of man, everything of this world is vanity and empty. In Psalm 37, verse number 34, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it." With the Lord, there's an inheritance. But with anybody else or any other way, all there is a cutting off, a separation, a division. How's it with you? Do you have an inheritance? Do you have an inheritance with Christ? He's the only way that you can be saved. He's the only way that you can have a future, an eternal future. We'll close with this verse in Revelation 21, verse 7. The scripture says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." An example of our inheritance in Christ. As it was there with the children of Israel, and the inheritance that was divided unto them, it was said by the Lord and it was said by Joshua, what God promised, he did. You've not seen one thing fail. And that example is to us that if the Lord has promised us an inheritance, which he has, can it fail? Will he fail at it? Never. But then that nugget that's down within there, that the Levites had something better. The priests had something better. Why? They had closeness with the Lord, nearness to the Lord. And then we see John, when Jesus reveals himself unto him and his glory and his greatness and those things to the seven churches and those things about the end times that he gives in that book, John comes away with it at his greeting. Many things are said there, many wonderful things that the Lord reveals to us and shows to us. But he says at the end of his greeting, before he goes on to those things that he's been shown, he says, the Lord has made us kings and priests. Because that's the great inheritance. The great inheritance is that God has given to us himself. And may we rejoice in that. May we avail ourselves to that and fellowship with our Lord. May we be nearer to our Lord. May we understand that we are to be witnesses. The minister, as I mentioned here not too long ago, the servant of our generation. Isn't that what it says about David after he served his generation? How will people hear? How will the people in our lives hear if they don't hear from us? The Lord's given us a great ministry in being a witness of what Christ has done for us, and an example of our inheritance in Christ.